How do you think the price of gas is these days? Are you happy with it? Or is it okay with you at $2.86 a gallon for regular unleaded average U.S. price and about $3.16 a gallon for diesel average U.S. price? Local prices may vary depending on where you are. It's a far cry from celebrations when prices dipped under $2 for gas and near $2 for diesel a few years ago. In addition, the federal gas tax is 18.5 cents for gas, 24.5 cents a gallon for diesel. Suddenly, it doesn't matter how much oil the United States pumps, or anywhere else for that matter, what it costs us to drive is becoming more and more a matter of taxes. Moreover, the average cost for state and local fees for a gallon of gas is about 35 cents. For diesel, it's about 36 cents. Oh, but we're not done, because most states have bonding bills to pay for infrastructure, state-authorized bonds, investment vehicles to raise money for public infrastructure, for projects that regularly include affordable housing and rail projects. In addition to gas taxes, you also have individual local taxes, sometimes a penny or a penny and a half, that are added on and tacked on to your actual gas tax. Finally, gasoline and diesel are going to go up. Why? Gas taxes, federal and state, and you'd be surprised who's all for raising the gas tax. President Donald Trump, Republican. We're going to talk about it in podcast 833, the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, I want to start out the podcast with a simple question, which is, what do you do if you're injured? Most people don't think about getting injured seriously at work or play. It's just not something we think about in the forefront of our mind. And when you are injured at work or play, you need to have a great personal injury attorney to help you. So I'm going to give you a number. You should put it aside somewhere, because you never know when you're going to need it. And I'll tell you why in a second. The person I'm going to give you the number is John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. John, again, is a great personal injury attorney. Here's his number, 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. Now, John, I network with John, you know, every week, and he was talking this week about people who really are egregiously injured at work, and then what he does is help them work through the thicket of insurance and workers' comp claims to make sure that at least they can have a life after an accident. And most of the time, you know, even if you work for a good company, they're loath to spend money, and insurance companies also don't always like to pay. And what are you going to do? Have your wife or husband try to figure out what you do? No. You need a great personal injury attorney, and that is John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. Everybody loves this guy that I know, and they refer him out all the time. Here's John's number, 952-683-1351. That's 952-683-1351. And I don't want to speak for John, but I've heard him say, it doesn't always mean going to court. Sometimes it's just that you need to have somebody who knows the ropes to understand all this. John works with HR departments. He works with people who have been injured, and he's also a litigator. So he understands all parts of this. John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates, 952-683-1351, 952-683-1351. Speaking of injury, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings and you're heading over to the air show at EAA this summer, check out Alpha Systems at the EAA air show. I think they're in Building 3 as always. What do? They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Let me tell you, at the show, at the Alpha Systems booth, there will be six people deep there all day long getting information about the Alpha Systems angle of attack indicator, because it gives you a visual indication of how much lift your wing is producing, and that saves lives in turns. For more details, visit the Alpha Systems website by clicking on the banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Now, there's going to be a lot of numbers in this podcast, and it's late at night for me. I love doing my podcast late at night. Let me just move some stuff around here. I will try to keep this as entertaining as possible, considering the subject matter. But really, when we get into details, the amounts collected, the amount of tax, those things become really, really important. And I wanted to do a podcast where I just got that stuff down circa 2019. So here we are. I live in Minnesota, where our state gas tax totals about 28 cents a gallon. It's a little below average. If you live in Pennsylvania, you pay 58 cents a gallon in taxes for gasoline, in addition to the federal gas tax. In California, you pay somewhere around 46 cents a gallon. Some states have an automatic increase in state taxes when the price of fuel goes up, and so that also impacts how much you can drive and how much you actually have to pay to fill up your giant SUV or your little gas-sipping Chevy Cruze. How much revenue for the state does that create? Well, Minnesotans use about 62,500,000 gallons of fuel each year. That is roughly $17 million a year in revenue for the state of Minnesota, and that's just on gasoline. Try trying to find out how much diesel is used in the state each year and let me know, because if it's included in the gas, then that's fine. If it isn't, that's an additional amount of tax revenue for the diesel as well, which is taxed at a higher rate. So the federal gas tax is 18.5%. Minnesota's portion of revenue generated for the federal gas tax is near $12 million. In addition to the $17 million that we collect at the state for the state taxes, again, this is gas only. Americans consume about 384 million gallons of gas every day, which amounts to about $71 million of gas tax revenue for the government every day. So you multiply that by roughly 365 and you get about $2.6 billion a year collected for gas taxes in by the federal government. And that's just the federal government portion. I don't know what the state, you know, you have to look at every single state in terms of how much revenue they raise and add that up too. Got that. $17 million a year collected by the state of Minnesota in the gas tax. Our share of the $2.6 billion collected by the federal government every year, again, is about $12 million, give or take. So on top of all that, you again have to add county and small town like village taxes that are also placed on a gallon of gas. Some places it's more, some places it's less. It just depends. And this is why the price of gas varies in addition to whatever they can do in terms of market, depending on where you see a gas station. So then on top of all the gas taxes, if you add this to, add to this bonding bills of between $500 million and $2 or $3 billion in states that bond, and the state and federal business and income taxes, well, we're talking about some real money. In 2017, Republicans passed an update of the 1987 tax reform bill. This was greeted with a whole bunch of celebration. The bill reduced corporate taxes and adjusted tax rates for various income groups. Most people agree that their taxes are less in 2018 than they were in 2017, notwithstanding those who had to pay more in because they didn't adjust their withholding for their 2018 taxes. But that's another podcast. The point here is this. Republicans would like people to believe that they are for lower taxation. We don't hear much about spending anymore, but we do in general hear that Republicans would like us to believe that lower taxes are good. They are for lower taxes. Republicans good, Democrats bad, because obviously if the Republicans are for lower taxes, Democrats must be for higher taxes, right? The United States will collect $3.5 trillion in tax revenue in fiscal 2019, it is estimated. Want to know how many tax dollars the state of Minnesota collected in 2016? Welcome to the Byzantine world of Minnesota state finances. As far as I can tell, after a couple of hours of searching on the internet, which is, you can't just do how much tax did the state raise in 2019 or 2018, boom, and you get an article. Oh no, you get page after page after page of state of Minnesota PDFs and finance documents that show all kinds. It's very hard. You have to add it up. So I added it up. The state collected roughly $26 billion in taxes from various sources in 2016, one of the highest per capita taxation rates in the United States. And that was before tax increases in 2017 and 2018, right? Now let's talk about roads. Just roads. Okay, it costs about $24,000 per lane mile to build a road in Minnesota. That's just a road. Now, we are ranked 30th in terms of per lane costs in the whole United States, which is actually pretty good. New Jersey is the most expensive at about $200,000 per lane mile. In South Carolina, it costs just $6,000 per lane mile. When you start adding in affordable housing, Agenda 21, 2040 plans for bike lanes, special curbs, talking lights, extra buses, and light rail, well, it's entirely a different question. And we don't know that question because we don't have a per lane cost for all of those things added up. Those things are budgeted in different parts of the budget, and they don't, you know, add them all up and say, this is what all this extra stuff costs. Again, light rail costs aren't part of the highway costs, but the money to pay for them comes from the Federal Transit Authority or from local county levies and so forth. The Southwest Light Rail line in Minnesota is estimated to cost somewhere around $2 billion. The most recent project called the Green Line, which runs almost 10 miles from downtown Minneapolis to downtown St. Paul, was budgeted at about $1 billion. It doesn't say anywhere what they actually spent on it. Another proposed line running from Minneapolis to the North Metro called the Botineau line, after no one calls it Botineau Boulevard up north, they call it Route 81. This line will probably cost in excess of $2 billion on the Green Line, as is the experience with all the other light rail lines. Revenues pay only, are you ready for this? Revenues pay only 38% of the operating costs. So eventually and in perpetuity, your gas taxes will have to get used to also pay for the operating costs of these rails, which in perpetuity are never funded enough to pay the costs in perpetuity for the rails. And each time they build a new one, it is multiplied. So again, we're looking at higher taxes as they build more and more of these lines that we're using our gas taxes already in some portion to pay for. Now, in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about President Trump's Republican infrastructure plan and how he intends to pay for it. And I'll tell you, by soaking truckers and people driving to work every day with as much as a 25-cent per gallon increase in the federal gas tax. And we'll talk about it in the second half of this podcast. Well, we had snow this weekend. We had snow this weekend in northern Minnesota, snow 2 weekends ago in northern Minnesota, but we did have a couple of 80-degree days, and I know it's going to be in the high 70s towards the end of the week, and that's a great time for Ryan to come out and check your air conditioning before the heat sinks in. But when they're there, you might want to ask them about systems. So there's all kinds of great technology when it comes to updating your home, and they can save you money because water is expensive. So they've got these highly efficient toilets. You can also get heating systems that heat water like that, which I love. You may have a great water heater, but it may not be as efficient as it used to be. This is all the kind of stuff that they can do. So when you want reliable service, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ask them about new tech. Sometimes there's grants and all kinds of rebates for this stuff. Ryan goes back 4 generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, and they always have. So if you live in Inver Grove, or you live in Maple Grove, or you live in West St. Paul or Plymouth or New Hope or Shakopee, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Once again, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 from Frogtown across town. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Now, I'm trying to keep this light. And I did this. You'll find out why I did this podcast today later on in the podcast. But I have to say that nothing disgusts me more than a trip down budgeting memory lane between the federal government's tax revenues and spending, and even worse, the state of Minnesota's tax revenues and spending. Whether it is local governments like Minneapolis or St. Paul, you will find that there is no sane lane for taxpayers attempting to actually discover what the state spends on anything, let alone roads, bridges, affordable housing, bike trails, and bike lanes, subsidized bicycles, sidewalk enhancement levies, assessments, and so on. Everything is under a different page. And again, these are usually estimates of what it's supposed to cost or how much funding has been approved. If you can figure out how much they actually spent, you win the big award today. Almost all funding for these projects are cobbled together from different state, local, and county agencies, federal grants, levies, fund distributions, and revenue sharing. It is a friggin' nightmare trying to figure out where it all comes from, and it's all designed to make you think that they're not spending a lot of money on this stuff, right? And if you want reference to this, you should listen to the Community Solutions Guys podcast, which I'll link in the blog for this podcast. But when you actually add all this stuff up, we're talking about enormous expenditures that no voter has any idea. And I would be surprised if any state legislator, individual legislators, or the legislatures in total really understand what they're voting on. For example, your local state representatives, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, will be singing the praises of a new budget bill at the Capitol this week that does not raise the gas tax. And the way this was accomplished is that the Democrats, you know, went out and said, we want a 25-cent gas tax increase. People went nuts. Everybody posted stuff on Facebook. They went down there and protested, and they raised hell, right? And what happened at the legislature? Well, the Republicans and the Democrats, in the interests of unity, because that's what it's all about, they compromised. And they are so thrilled and so happy and smiling to stand there with Governor Tim Walz, Republicans and Democrats together, working together in unified efforts to help people and do good things and make the world a better place. Well, what did they do? And this is where the Republicans got snookered. Well, the Democrats snuck in a little request for about a $1.5 billion bonding bill for infrastructure projects. But what they got was a scaled back, quote unquote, scaled back $500 billion bonding bill. Now, it used to be in the state of Minnesota, 1 year was for the budget. We budget for 2 years, so it's called a biennium, right? And 1 year was to do the budget, which this year, by the way, is somewhere around $48 billion for 2 years. Divide that by two, and then remember the amount of revenue the state collects, right? And the other year was supposed to be a biennium bill for bonding. And then what they do there is they agree to sell bonds to pay for highways, bridges, and, you know, infrastructure, farm roads, and stuff like that, or new latrines at the National Guard, or, you know, a new rec center in St. Paul for the downtrodden, or, you know, some new pavilion for the Mayo Clinic, and so on and so on. That's what the bonding bills do. Now, it appears that we are bonding almost every year. And when you actually look up, I just looked up one project, which is the 10th Avenue Bridge, which was bonded 2 years ago. They haven't even started the project. They're going to start the project in 2020 and 21. So they bond 2, 3, 4 years, and they roll in bonds on bonds on bonds. Who knows how much they have bonded and how much has been spent and how much has been covered. And I'm sure that there are all kinds of other projects like the new wings at the hospitals at the U, and St. Cloud State, improvements in Rochester for the biggest whore of them all, the Mayo Clinic, which, by the way, received billions from the federal government last year and every year and is the largest employer in the state of Minnesota. So to summarize, we have bonding bills on top of bonding bills and budget increases every year in this state for things like education and medical care. You'll never get a Republican to vote against an education package. They increase spending for education another 2%, this budget, and they're once again, aren't we just great? We just went in there and we compromised, you know, and that's what's really important. We're just, you know, we're doing pretty good. That's the Republicans in the state of Minnesota, already one of the highest taxed states in the United States, but we didn't pass a gas tax increase, so big sigh of relief. Now, Add to all of this the federal government. And here comes President Trump talking about infrastructure. Remember, he said he was going to get corporations to pay for it. Now he's talking about a gas tax increase to pay for it. And by the way, gas taxes are already too high because the poorest people who have to drive to work have to pay that gas tax. So we're talking about a middle class and lower middle class and low class, and I don't mean to say lower classes, but the lowest income categories pay the most percentage of their income for gasoline. So they can go work their minimum wage job. And you have a Republican president, unfortunately, talking about a gas tax when gas taxes at the federal level and state levels, in my opinion, are already too high. And I'll tell you why in a second. First of all, we don't get to vote on whatever they do with the money. They decide at the congressional level. So the House decides and the Senate votes and off it goes. And the same thing at the state levels, especially when it comes to bonding. It doesn't go into roads and bridges, farm roads, and so forth exclusively. Federal funding accompanies already generous state and county funding for projects like light rail, proposed and executed in this state by an unelected body known as the Met Council. And you thought the United States wasn't socialist already. Oh, wait, that was just a joke. Well, maybe not. Finally, remember I told you I would tie this all in. So let's remember the total haul of the U.S. government for fiscal 2019 is estimated to be somewhere around $3.33 trillion. A good portion of that money will be spent on non-discretionary spending. In other words, it's hardwired to pay for Medicare, Medicaid, certain housing and urban development projects and things of that nature. When we get to discretionary spending, it's the same situation. It's very much spending for health and human services, and then we get to defense and things of that nature. So the budget for fiscal 2019 is, guess what? $4.4 trillion. Therefore, the budget deficit, the federal budget deficit, will be $1.1 trillion. Remember the spendthrift Barack Obama? In 2010, he budgeted $3.8 trillion, which was a huge deficit, by the way, and he spent only $3.4 trillion. Conservative Donald Trump is already a trillion in spending over Obama's $3.4 trillion just 9 years later. But that's not enough. He wants between a 25 cent and a 15 cent per gallon increase in the gas tax to pay for infrastructure, new airports, bridges, maybe even walls, and wonderful things that will be done. And the total debt of the federal government of the United States is now $22.1 trillion, but it doesn't stop there. Not included in that is the federal agency debt of about $9 trillion and the local government debt of about $1.5 trillion. Now, I understand that total debt has a lot to do with the potential of the U.S. economy, nationally and locally, and without context, it's hard to judge whether a national local debt of $1 trillion is a lot or little. But as far as this podcast is concerned, with all this spending and debt, why do we need higher federal and local, not just state gas taxes, and more bonding at the state level for infrastructure and budgeting increases? So here's some quick questions. Do you know what the state-bonded projects are? Do you know where the money comes from to build the light rail and other local projects from roundabouts to pretty bridges and apartment buildings? And when they have the local TV station stand up in front of the start of construction for the Southwest Light Rail Line and they grab the two people in their late 60s who are standing there ballyhooing the project, oh, this is just a wonderful idea, you know. This is going to help people because we won't have to drive our cars anymore. And the reporter doesn't say, where does the money come to build this? Where's the money coming from to build this? And exactly how many cars do you think will be taken off the road? And how much will it cost to run this thing every year? Because they don't know, because they just think it's a pretty train and it's a great idea. Do you know what to do if your property gets an additional assessment? I have a friend who has a business in a small town. I won't say where. A few years ago, they put in new sidewalks and they repaved the main street in the town. They put up nice street lights and everything else, and everybody was very happy. And this person has just received an assessment on her property, which is in the main street of this town, for $28,000. And that is for a business that probably doesn't even generate that much profit. profit year to year. Oh, they'll let her pay it off over time. But what happens if there's more assessment for Robin's little business right there in that little small town, that formerly a farm town in the North Metro in Minneapolis, St. Paul, right? And what's it for? It's for, you know, steel gratings covering the trees on the sidewalk, or it's for those steel gratings so people know where the curb is when they can't see the curb, or it's for the talking lights that say, wait, 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 wait. Remember those? Do you think the schools need another 2% funding increase in an already $48 billion state budget for the next 2 years? You think the students are going to see that money? Do you think there'll be a student benefit for that money? Not to mention additional levies voted on by a tiny percentage of voters in school districts to pay for new football fields and, you know, pavilions and everything else. So I'm going to say it because I think it needs to be said. I think spending is out of control, and it doesn't matter if it's bonding or budgeting. It doesn't matter if it's the state or the federal level. The fact is that all spending and all debt must be paid for by somebody. And so it ends up as a tax on all of us, workers, businesses, and citizens, whether we want it or not, or wanted the thing that they were talking about or not, and especially the debt. Because one of the things traders, economists, and financial people are very concerned about right now is growing federal, state, local, and corporate debt worldwide, but especially in the United States. When it comes to assessing recessions, this is one of those issues that comes into play again and again. Now, it used to be the people spending the money could count on inflation to bury debts. You could repay the 1974 debt with 1980 dollars, which were worth less, but there were more of them in the dollar amount. So if you had $10 of debt in 1974 and in 1980 you had an inflated currency, well, $10 wasn't as much of a percentage of the total dollars as it was in 1974. Now, these days, inflation is less than 1%. Our representatives tell us again and again that the magical growth of the economy, about 3.2% right now, will be big enough to pay off the debt if we can make it grow faster. The problem is, what if we can't? If debts sink the economy and we have a depression and deflation, then we will have to pay our 2019 debts, which at this point at minimum are $22.3 trillion, that we will have to pay that money back with deflated dollars. So a larger percentage of future dollars will have to go to pay for the debt. And who's going to pay those? The people that are 68 years old that love the light rail? No, they'll be dead. The people that will have to pay for that are their grandchildren. And it will take, right now, the average percentage of individual, on the mat for debt is roughly $67,000 per person in the United States. The only other option at this point, when the debt bond finally goes off, if it ever does, is to default on the debt. So here's what I say. Go ahead, all you drunken sailors in the dance hall. We call the state capital and the U.S. capital. Drink up and spend, spend, spend. You won't suffer any consequences for it because you'll have to solve the problem. You can run on, we created this terrible problem, now I have to run on solving the problem. But the people will have to solve the problem because we're the ones that's going to have to pay for it. I guess even the great Republican conservative Donald Trump doesn't even care about that, because what he wants to do is build something that he can put his name on. Donald Trump International Airport, Donald Trump Immigration Pavilion, Donald Trump Bridge, etc. Did you ever wonder how they built the pyramids? Well, now you know. They built it with slave labor. Now, one of the things I didn't cover is sales taxes and business taxes and revenues collected by the state for those types of things, as well as additional levies and sales taxes for things like the Viking Stadium or the Twins Stadium or the stadium or two over in St. Paul, one for minor league baseball and one for soccer, things of that nature. I didn't count that either. And then I just want a quick disclaimer. So when we talk trillions, billions, and millions, sometimes it can be confusing. The state bonding bill for this biennium in 2019 going through is $500 million. It started out at $1.5 billion. They negotiated it down to $500 million. Again, The thing to remember here is all this spending has only one way to be paid for. Even when it's bonding, it ends up as some kind of a tax. And the bonding, you know, there's quite a debate as to whether or not municipal bondings and state bondings actually crowd out private finance, financing small business. So if you're investing money and you can get a better rate on a muni, or better rate on a state bond, why should you loan the windshield guy any money to grow his business? So ultimately, it has a negative effect on growing businesses. And again, all spending ends up as a tax in some form or another, whether it's inflation, whether it is added prices for prevailing wages in construction of these projects, or bonds that are paying off a higher percentage rate than what investors could get by loaning businesses money, and so forth and so on. And that's really, again, this is why I say this is how they built the pyramids, with slave labor. We think we're free, and yet if we were actually to bring the founding fathers forward, and they actually saw all of the unseen and unrepresented taxes that have been voted in, they would be like, wow, the British were a pretty good deal. Well, I'm glad I got all the numbers in one place. I think that's so important. And this podcast will be one that I just can put down the river and say, okay, you know, everyone's celebrating no gas tax. That's great. But you really ought to think about the overall cost, because when you add them all up, and again, I'll put the link to the Community Solutions guys podcast that I did. I did two podcasts with those guys where they get into this in detail. And the amount of money these from municipalities to counties, to the state, to the federal government, the amount of money they are spending is enormous. And again, I hesitate to say this, eventually that has to be paid for with higher taxes. There is no other way. So it's something that I'll be watching, but I'm sorry I'm not celebrating with the smiling jackhammers down there at the smiling jackwagons, as my friend Tommy Mischke used to say down there at the legislature. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast, and thanks again for checking out Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. They're in Frogtown. They've been there for four generations. They go metro-wide. When it comes to keeping all your systems running right, especially these days at home or your business, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Ryan Plumbing. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 833, the Bob Davis podcast from iTunes. Tune in, which also works with Alexa, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker.com. I'm on Spotify, which is great for Android devices. My second endorsement would be Stitcher.com, and I appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I am going to take podcast mobile podcast command out again soon, and I'll give you details on that. Thanks, Wayne, for $25. I appreciate it. Thanks for all your donations for the BobDavisPodcast.com at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for mobile podcast command. There's a yellow donate button after that, and once I get rolling, I'm going to really be pounding on that, because I'm going to need money for gas. Speaking of, thanks for listening to podcast 833. What's up with the gas tax? Bye-bye.
It's a god-awful small affair to the guy with the mousy hair, but her mom is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through a sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, 'cause she's seen it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freaky ass chore. Take a look at the lawman beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know his son the best-selling show.